As we are prepare our hearts for communion, I invite you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. I was struck by these thoughts as somebody asked a question. If you know that you only have about, let's say, 6 hours or even one day left to live, what would you want people to know? I looked up Flight 93 that was hijacked before Maya was born 22 years ago in 2001. And they actually recorded a couple of the calls that were made during that time. One lady called her mom and she said, "Mom, I'm just calling to say I love you and goodbye. This lady gave me a phone and she said I should call you, so I decided to call you." Another lady called her husband or boyfriend, I don't know which it was, but and said to her, "If I get out of this, I promise you I'll quit tomorrow. I'll quit tomorrow. I promise I'm quitting tomorrow." What that meant, I don't know. But can you imagine? I asked Ellie, I said, "Ellie, let's say you were on that plane. What would you do?" I asked Johnny, too. Johnny said he wouldn't even call us. Ellie, at least with her tender heart, said she would. And she said this. She said, "Dad, I'd say to you, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon." Isn't that beautiful? You know, as we look at this, I've looked at this so many times, and you know, there were three crosses, not one. And sometimes we just focus on the one, and that's okay. You know, we need to focus on Jesus. But there are three crosses. We don't know their names. We're going to call them for tonight. We're going to give them names. We're going to call one Mr. Haughty, and we're going to call the other one Mr. Humble. And really, we know in the Bible, if you look it out in verse 39, they call them criminals. There's different words that are used to describe them in the Gospels. It really means somebody who inflicted pain on another person. These were bad people. These were rotten people to the core. They inflicted pain on other people. They hurt other people. And it's interesting, in verse 39, we start off with Mr. Haughty. We learn a little bit about this guy here on the cross. In verse 39, it says here, one of the criminals who were hanged there was what? Hurling abuse at him. Let me just say this. When we're hurting, we tend to bite at other people and fight other people and get mad at other people. And we tend to blame our circumstances on other people and not take responsibility for our own actions and our own lives. I'll never forget when the FBI called me down in Argentina and I picked up the phone. I don't know how they got my phone number. And they said, "We're looking for your brother." I said, "My brother? I'm in Argentina. I don't know where my brother, I don't know what he was doing." And so I called my brother up. I said, "The FBI's calling looking for you." He said, "Jeremy, if you tell them where I am, I'm going to kill you." Wait a minute, I'm not the one that did something. You're going to kill me because they're after you? Yeah, he was mad. He was fighting. He was biting against me. Here's this guy in verse 39, and what is he doing? He is hurling abuse at Jesus. There's no mention of repentance. There's no mention of him wanting to be with God. There's no mention of him feeling sorry for his sin. There's no mention of him living up to his actions. But he says this to Jesus. He says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." He's just thinking of right now. He wants God to save him physically. He wants to get off the cross and continue on to his life. He doesn't care about salvation. He looks to Jesus like a political figure. "Are you not the Christ? Are you not some politician that's supposed to help us out?" Here's what's amazing about verse 39. Jesus does not respond to him at all. You ever pick that up? There's no words back to him in verse 40 from Jesus. Do you know why? Because God resists the proud. and gives grace to the humble. When we are in our last moments of life, that's not the time to be blaming everybody else and blaming other things and get mad at other people and start to make excuses that we're in the situation we are because of other people. That's not the time to do that. And especially to do that to God. And so in verse 39, we have Mr. Haughty saying this. And now in verse 40, we go to Mr. Humble. And here's what's beautiful about this. He responds for Jesus. The other answered, rebuking him. And he says this, "Do you not fear God?" That's where it all starts. It starts with a healthy fear of God. That's where wisdom starts to come out of our mouths. We start to understand things and see things through God's perspective. Do you not fear God? Do you not understand? And look at the three things that we see that this guy does here in verse 40 and 41. He says this. He goes, we're under the same sentence of condemnation. Verse 41, I'm sorry. And we indeed are suffering what? He took responsibility. You see that? He didn't believe the lies that people believe about God, that God owes them something. He didn't believe the lies that he could have been in a better situation if it wasn't for God. He believed the truth that we all deserve what? Condemnation. We are here on this cross because we are suffering for what we have done. This is just. This is right. He admits that he is a sinner. And he deserves to die. Not only that, here's where it gets beautiful. He says here in the verse, we're receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. You ever study that in the Gospels? How many times that comes up? That Jesus is the innocent one? Do you remember how Pilate said three times that Jesus was innocent? Even Pilate's wife said, I had a dream about this guy. He is innocent. Even the person after he died, they saw him, looked at him and said, he is innocent. He is the sinless Savior. So what he is saying right here is, not only do we deserve what we want, but Jesus is the true sinless Savior. He's done nothing wrong. Ever. And then, I don't know how many times I've looked at this, but never really understood verse 42 of what he's asking Jesus to do. He goes to Jesus and he says, remember me. You know what he's saying there? You know, this is where it gets exciting. I couldn't wait to get to this part. This is where it gets exciting. Do you know what he's saying by remember me? He's turning to Christ, not just for forgiveness, not just saying, will you forgive me of my sins and pleading for mercy. He's turning to Christ. Don't miss this. He's asking Jesus Christ right here in this verse to raise him from the dead. You say, where is that in the Bible? Look what he's asking for. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. So he's acknowledging that there is a kingdom and he knows that he's going to die. He's not getting off that cross. So he's asking Jesus, will you raise me from the dead? And will you allow me to be part of your kingdom one day? Wow, that's amazing. Can you imagine what Jesus is hearing and all that? Will you raise me? I'm going to die, but will you raise me up because I want to be part of your kingdom? What faith he has, turning to Jesus, not just pleading for the forgiveness of his sins, but asking and realizing that there's more after death. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And here's where our Lord, his response shocks us all, because he's not only going to remember him when he's in his kingdom. He's not only going to forgive him of his sins. But look what he says here in verse 43. He said to him, truly I say to you, and don't play with the commas here, because there's a lot of different people that play with the commas. The comma belong here, the comma. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. In the Greek, there is no comma. All right? So be careful. Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me, where? In paradise. Let's understand the paradise, and then we're going to talk about what today means. In the Bible, the paradise back then, it meant an enclosed garden, a place of delight. Later on, it meant the place where the people who died before the resurrection would wait for the resurrection. When you study Revelation later on, paradise comes to mean the place where the righteous people will dwell. Here's what Jesus is saying. Not only am I going to forgive your sins, and not only am I going to allow you to have a part of my kingdom one day when I come back, but today you're going to be in a place of delight. That's our God. You don't have to wait. What happens when somebody dies? They go to a place, if they have their faith in Jesus Christ, a place of delight with our Lord. Today you will be with who? With me. He's offering an amazing thing. You know what he's saying? He's saying there is no purgatory. People believe you die and you got to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. There is no soul sleep. It's not like we die and the body just goes there and we're souls asleep. No, today you're going to be with me. You know what this else means? This means there is no work salvation. This guy, on the first Good Friday that there ever was, never went to a Bible study, never became a member of a church, never was baptized. He never did any good work after this and still was saved and going to heaven. Anybody that puts any works into salvation doesn't understand this passage. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. There's no purgatory. There's no work salvation. And I think the best thing that I love about this is that it's never too late to turn to Jesus. I don't care how far your friend, relative, that person, or even yourself has gone. There's always hope. I mean, think about this person who went from cursing Jesus on the cross, he was doing it as well, to now, we don't know how much longer later, let's say a few moments, a few hours, now he's asking Jesus to save him. I don't get into too much of deathbed conversions because we really don't know when that's going to happen. So I tell people, don't wait till the last moment. You just don't know. People say, I'll just wait till I'm about to die and I'll accept Jesus. Well, if we only knew, we only had a few more hours left, or we only knew we only had a few. Not everyone is privileged to know that. But I'm here to say that as long as we're alive, it is never too late to turn to Christ. And to have a personal relationship with him. You see, he's saying, remember me. I don't just want the kingdom. I want you to raise me from the dead. I want to live with you. And the Lord has a way of giving exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. And this shows us the heart of Jesus. These were some of his last words. What does the Lord Jesus want? He wants people to have a relationship with him. That's his heart. Don't miss that when we talk about Good Friday. This is the first Good Friday in the Bible. There's one blaming God next to him, saying, well, just save me of my problems right now. Just get me out of this. I want to keep living my life. There's a lot of people that try to do that. They're stubborn all the way to the death. And yet, here's this guy who never, his whole life, he was hurting people, turns to him, and Jesus accepts him. That's our wonderful God. So as we think about today, I want us to really think about, in Good Friday, the heart of Christ. What he wants to do is save. You know, this is interesting that he says this. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you know the words that Jesus said on the cross just before this? Anyone remember the words that Jesus said before this? Are you scared?
It is finished.
That's later. It's beautiful. It's later. It's something that he says that they hear. Starts with an F. Forgive them. But they don't know what they do. They hear about this forgiveness, and guess what? The guy turns and says, Lord, remember me. Isn't that beautiful? People need to hear about this forgiveness. And then we ask God to work in their lives that they would turn to Him. So what would I say if I was on flight 93 and I had one call? Of course I would call Katie. I mean, that's the one I'm going to call. What would I want her to know? What would be in my heart, what would I want her to say? What would be the last things? You know, people say to somebody, I'm sorry, forgive me, I love you. I don't know what it would be. Maybe I'd say, tell so-and-so about Christ. What would you say? What do you want? What is your heartbeat? Let's take a few moments in our hearts right now as we prepare for communion. And I really want us to think about this, the lessons we could learn from these three guys. Are you the one blaming God and blaming others for your problem right now and getting mad at people around you because your life is not going the way you want it to go? That's Mr. Haughty. Are you the one turning to God, realizing and recognizing that, hey, I'm a sinner, I deserve nothing but death. But I want you, Jesus, to raise me from the dead, and I want to be with you. Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Is your heart like the Savior's heart who wants to see others get saved? Let's take a few moments in our heart right now and just pray before God.